Very pleased to be joined now by the Browns special teams coach, Chris Tabor. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so we're going to break down the Browns special teams from the 2011 season. Very interesting year. Lots of things happened, of course. But I want to start with the positives. And really, there were more of those than the negatives, to the extent that Phil Dawson, still a very reliable place kicker who did what he does, makes those long-distance kicks, again, consistent. Brad Maynard coming through as an outstanding punter for you when he actually was your third guy as a punter, and no one would necessarily expect that to be the case, that a third punter coming in after the first game would perform as he did. So overall, you had some very good things happen.
No, we did. It was an interesting year, to say the least. But at the same time, as you stated, there was a lot of positives that we can continue to build on and to grow from. I mean, there was some things that didn't happen as well as what we would have liked, but they're going to end up being, in the long run, learning experiences for us. And we have to continue to grow and work to get better. And I believe that we did that as the year went. As things came up, you know, our motto was, let's just make sure it doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And I think when there was a negative play, I feel like the guys did a good job of responding and not allowing it to rear its ugly head again. So I'm encouraged by that, and we're going to continue to obviously build on the things that we did well, and we're going to obviously look to improve on the things that we didn't do as well.
Sure. And when we go back to Phil Dawson as that veteran guy who, when he is put in the position of, you know, making that key, that clutch field goal, delivers and did that obviously very well. The exceptions, of course, being when there were problems on the punt snaps, and you got that resolve when you when the Browns replaced Ryan Pomperion with Christian Yount. And Christian, really, his name, it was interesting. You heard his name when he came aboard, Coach, but by the end of the season, no one was talking about him because those snaps were being made fine.
No, he did a great job, and he was put in a tough spot, but he responded and really encouraged about where he's going to go and what he can do. And with going back to Phil Dawson, I mean, here's a guy that made 7 of 8, from 50 plus, and then was also 7 of 8 from 40 plus. So you're talking 40 yards plus. He's 14 of 16, which is almost 88%. I mean, what a great player, and he did great things for us this year, and that's a blessed that he did that for us.
You've been around a lot of kickers in your coaching career. What struck you, and I know they all have different personalities, just like all people do and players do. What struck you about Phil Dawson and getting to know him this year in your first season with the Browns?
Well, obviously you knew he was a true pro because he's been in this league a long time. But to me, Phil Dawson is a football player. When we go and we do things kickoff coverage-wise, I mean, people probably assume the kicker just kicks the ball and we go down and cover. But Phil understands about hang time, ball placement, what their return scheme is, and then how our guys are supposed to fit and cover into those things, and he's able to understand all that. Therefore, he says, you know, I can put the ball a little bit more over here, or the wind's blowing here, I can put it right here, because he understands all the components of the coverage part. And to me, a lot of kickers I haven't been around do that, and Phil does. So to us, that's a plus, because he is truly, in my opinion, a football player.
And when you have a guy like that, you really, what is the coaching element of it? Do you, when you have a veteran kicker like that, do you just sort of trust that they do their thing, or what are the guidelines or the guidances that a coach provides to a player like that?
I think when you're talking about a true pro, and someone's been doing it and has been very good at his craft for a long time, I think you're into kind of managing them. And, you know, he has his routine. You never have to worry that he's going to come to work and not go through his routine. Phil has a set routine. He's gonna work it each and every day, and he works his craft. So you're just watching some of the little things. If you're not there to tweak him his leg swing or anything like that. But if he hits a little bit of rut, you try to help manage those things and give some ideas. But he's great at what he does, and he obviously knows his leg swing better than anybody.
Chris Tabor, Browns special teams coach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Brad Maynard, a guy you had known, of course, from Chicago before he joined the Browns. But interesting in talking with him, he had never been in the position that he was when he joined this team, that he was out there and available, and that was new to him. And joining a team that in a season already underway was new to him. So what was it like for you, again, as the position coach here, to manage that with a guy that he has to kind of get over, I guess, that initial sense of, hey, nobody wanted me, and now somebody wants me, and it's, you know, one game into the season, and I'm on a team?
Yeah. Well, obviously my past relationship with Brad helped. But once again, as we talked about Phil, Brad is also a true pro. Here's a guy that's been doing it 15 years himself. He's good at his craft. He knows exactly what he needs to get done each and every day. But, you know, he came in, did a great job for us. He had 32 inside the 20s, mm-hmm. with only one touchback. And believe it or not, I mean, we all kind of chuckled. His one touchback is the last game, and he's punting into the wind.
Right.
And just kind of a freakish thing there. But he also, that people won't talk about, he had 28, I think he had 28 fair catches, which is an awful high number. And the reason why that's important is there was one game in St. Louis. We had a penalty, and we had to go down and cover again. Brad Maynard, being the football player that he is, understands, hey, my guys just ran down. Now they have to go down and cover again. So he decides, I'm going to hit the 40-yard fair catch, and so he can help out his other teammates. And to me, that's the professionalism in him.
Sure.
That's the guy that understands the game inside and out and understanding his craft. So that it was a great plus having him. And obviously him as a holder on field goals, as we saw on some of those plays that didn't work out quite as well, for him to be able to get that ball down like he did, I mean, he's best holder in the league.
And the big thing with Brad, besides the holding we talk about and just that experience that he has, is his precision when it comes to directional kicking, the hang time that he could generate that allowed the coverage to either get there or just flat out eliminate the return.
No question. He's that's the book on Brad Maynard, to be quite honest with you. He's able to eliminate returners. For example, Antonio Brown, who's a great returner for the Steelers and is going to the Pro Bowl as the returner. You play him in two games, and you're going to have to face him twice each year. He had zero returns against us because Brad hung the ball up there and guys were able to get down. I mean, 32 inside the 20s, coupled with he had 28 fair catches. I want to say as we're just now going through the cut-ups, we had to probably cover about 17 kicks, 15 to 17, and the other ones are either fair catches or inside the 20s there. So that's a great tribute to him and being able to eliminate returners. He's throughout his career, obviously, he's faced a lot of great returners. So, you know, it was easy to go up to him during the week and say, Brad, we need to put it here, need to put it there. And he'd say, you know, Coach, I got you. I'll handle it for you. Yeah. And he did. So I was very appreciative of that, no doubt.
Let's talk about the coverage units, because this is such an underappreciated group. And again, with most teams, this happens where it's very changeable. But you have a very young roster here, so you're going to have young people, rookies and whatnot, involved in that coverage. I will start, though, with one very experienced guy in Josh Cribbs, who, as much as we talk about him as a return guy, and he's a second alternate for the Pro Bowl as a returner, no shock to that. And he did have the touchdown return against on a punt against the Ravens in the rematch game, but also third alternate as a coverage guy for the Pro Bowl. So his coverage ability is just as recognizable as his return ability.
No question. Josh, first foremost, great football player. He has great instincts, and as a cover guy, I mean, he led our group with, you know, he was our leading tackler. And it really began to show up right after the Oakland game. And, you know, we gave up the touchdown to Oakland, which obviously you never want to do. But after that, our kind of kickoff mantra was never again. And the guys responded to that, and especially with Josh's help. You know, we ended up at the end of the year, statistically, had you take out the Oakland game, you know, the guys ended up finishing sixth in the league in kickoff coverage. And I think overall we ended up finishing 12th in the league with return yardage average against us. So that's a good number, and that's with the Oakland game in there. So, you know, you take that out, it could, you know, we could have been top 10, which is obviously where we want to be. But a lot of that does goes to our cover guys, and when Josh came into the mix there, obviously he did help us there tremendously.
And with the rest of the coverage units, as I mentioned, you had different people involved. Coach, if you could break down for us some of the people who were on those coverage teams and did a solid job both in terms of kickoff and punt coverage.
Yeah, I will. You know, Kaluk Maeva and Buster Screen, the young rookie there, they ended up tying for the second leading tacklers on our team and in our coverage units, did a great job for us. And I'm encouraged by that because Kaluk was a guy that's been out of, you know, due to injury, and then Buster was a rookie, and they just kind of continued to grow as the year went along. Another young player that did a nice job for us and ended up being our third leading tackler was Quentin Spears, a guy that we picked up right before game one and came in and did a great job. And his production was good for us. And here's a guy that also missed about three games due to injury, but got better each and every week. And, you know, you can never lose sight of what Bubba Ventrone brings to the table for
sure.
You. You know, those guys are getting tackles because he's down there. He's the first guy in, and he's flushing the ball to those guys. His statistics, tackle-wise, might not be up there, but what he does with regards to forcing the ball to those guys speaks volumes. And you know, we can't do things without guys like him. So we do have some good young players that I'm encouraged about, that got a lot of experience, that went through the trials and tribulations of an NFL season.
Sure.
Good, bad, and indifferent. And we'll continue to build upon those things, and we'll get better.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Vic. Thank you.
He is Chris Tabor, the Browns special teams coach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.